You're listening to the Franchise Freedom Podcast with Giuseppe Grammatico.
Okay, and welcome to the Franchise Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Giuseppe Grammatico, your franchise guide, and we have an awesome show for you today. We have my good friend, Carmelo Marsala from SprayNet. Excuse me. Carmelo, how you doing?
Good, you?
Good, very good. I fellow Italian in Canada. I love the accent, and feel like we're in the same state. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate
it. Looking forward to it. So you know, looking forward to this. Definitely a up and coming brand. It's been around for a while. Originated in Canada, and now into the States, doing really well. And tell us a. I guess before we get into SprayNet, give the audience a little bit of context on kind of how you got into franchising and then how you got into the SprayNet.
Yeah, well, so actually in university, I was a college pro student painter. So student painting in the summer, and you're technically a franchisee. It's not the same as a real franchise model, but you're a student painting franchisee. And in 2009, after my third year, I actually graduated in finance. I was supposed to be a stockbroker, but the teacher wrote on the wall, wealth is transferred from one person to another. And I said, well, that kind of sucks. I'd like to create value, not just transfer money from one person to another. So a customer that year in my last year asked me if I could paint their vinyl windows. And I said, not really. There's not really a way to do that. And then I'm thinking about it all winter. Well, when you buy a brand new window, it's been painted. So why can't we do that? So I started researching how they do it in a factory. I met with some chemists who said it wasn't doable. Finally found one who believed in the idea. And that's really how we started SprayNet. In terms of franchising, we started that in 2014. And the story I like to tell people is, it's a true story. In 2013, so from 2011 to 2013, we grew from basically zero to about 2.5 million in sales. Wow. That's pretty fast growth in the home service sector. We had like, I think I had almost like 50 techs at that point. And I was like 25 years old. So basically, I was the salesperson, the call center, the marketing team. And I had the phone, you know, here speaking to a customer while spraying a home. The phone fell. I got pissed off. I threw my gun off the ladder and I said, enough is enough. This is not sustainable. So that winter, I read The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, and he spoke about franchising. And I said, well, I used to be a franchisee. Why not start franchising? And that's literally how we got into franchising.
it's a great model. And it's always funny hearing, you know, people's stories, how they got into it. And it's everyone has a kind of a different version, and they all land into, well, business ownership and then, you know, franchising, putting those systems together. And that book, E-Myth Revisited, my gosh, it's been talked about. It is a life-changing book. I wish I had read that a little bit sooner at an earlier age, but I actually found that book after investing in my first franchise. So so awesome. So tell us, so SprayNet, what is SprayNet? Kind of give us a little background of, you know, what you do, where you're based out of, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, custom chemistry, smarter painting. That's our slogan. That's our right under our logo. Those are actually two patents that we have on the wall. So kind of the story that I started with, like, why can't you paint my vinyl windows? Basically what we do is we reverse engineered the factory process of painting, and we bring that on site. So we do that now for seven different surfaces. But the gist of it is, if you take a brand new door, right, it's been painted, but in a factory, it doesn't look painted and will never peel, right? You don't expect it to peel. So what we do is we take that same process, but we weather adjust the products, because in a factory, basically all the ambient air conditions are constant. Outside, they're always evolving, always changing. So we created a software that allows our users to put in those conditions, and then a chemistry that we can put into that product that adjusts it based on those conditions. So that's actually one of our patents. So we create all the chemistry around it. We create all the processes around it, which allows us to give that 15-year no peel warranty and that factory finish every time on every surface, basically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what other services do you provide? So that's the exterior.
Yeah, so the exterior, we do vinyl, aluminum, engineered wood, stucco. We stain brick, soffits, windows, doors. I think you mentioned those already. And then we moved into the inside about two and a half, three years ago now. We were in Canada. We were a seasonal business. Franchises were making good money, but they said, hey, we want to keep our guys during the winter. Some of the guys want to work. So we looked into, well, what else can we do that fits our promise? We didn't want to start painting walls, right? Because that's not really what we do. That's selling time. We want to sell value. So we looked into kitchen cabinets, and I was very hesitant at first because there's people doing it, right? Like there's people doing it. So people painting them with regular paintbrush and roller, which is not great. But then there's people doing it properly. They're taking off those cabinets. They're bringing them to a factory and they're reinstalling them. So I said, well, can we do something better than them? So I interviewed a few of those customers. And they said, our biggest pain points is, well, first of all, we had no cabinets for a month. And when they reinstalled the cabinets, my house smelled like a body shop for a month. So it was a painful process. So I said, okay, well, if you can do this in 1 or 2 days on site with no smell, no mess, we'd be on something. So we started working on the chemistry. It took us about a year and a half. And then we created the chemistry. We piloted that. We refined the process. And now it's launched system-wide. So that's our second piece. And now our third piece, which is in the infancy stage, which we're piloting with a few senior franchisees, is same thing with roofs. So we would often do jobs or go do quotes where the customer would say, hey, my roof's green. It's not really going to match with everything else. I'm not spending like 15, 20K to change my roof. Right. How can we change the color of the roof for a fraction of the cost? Same thing we do with everything else. So we actually created a liquefied form of roof, which actually has granules. So not only does it change the color, but it significantly prolongs the life of the roof. So those are kind of the three verticals right now, exterior, kitchen cabinets, and roofing.
Wow. So kind of do it all. And this is, in my opinion, you know, with everything going on in the world, people are looking to maybe not necessarily replace, because in many cases, vinyl siding should last you for almost forever, basically. Yeah, yeah. So why am I gonna pay to replace it when it could just be, you know, restored? So what type of, and you know, not looking to get into exact pricing and things, but you know, replacing, have you done the math almost, you know, if I replacing it versus just simply restoring it and you know, obviously giving that 15-year no peel guarantee, is there kind of a savings built in that you can?
Yeah, of course, right? So not only is there a time savings and a mess savings, there's a cost savings, right? So typically we'll range between 25 and 35% of the cost. Sometimes less, sometimes more, depending on the complexity of things, but generally we'll fall in that range.
And that's the savings, or that's the total cost of the job?
No, that's the total cost. So savings would be 65 to 75%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We have a newer home, and you know, we've had some fading of the siding, which you know, obviously everything is never covered. When you look at the warranties, there's always in your case it's not covered, so to replace it was a fortune. So as soon as I heard about this, I go, wow, well, I'm a future customer. We got to get a location in our neck of the woods. But that's awesome. That's so one thing I want to mention is that. So I work with people all day long, right? Corporate execs, people looking to diversify their investments or that side hustle that are looking for kind of what's next. And we talk about what a franchisor does for them. And that we didn't even talk about the support, which we'll get into now, what the support and the training and things like that. But, you know, we look at franchise companies that are growing, that are evolving. And you started out with exterior coatings, exterior painting, got into cabinets, got into restoring the roof. So this is a, you know, in my opinion, a great success story of a company that, you know, yourself really stepping up to help the franchisees with their additional revenue streams. You know, I'm in New Jersey. You can't paint, you know, 12 months a year. You got, you know, winters are brutal, right? As I'm sure they are, in all areas, you know, up in Canada, I can only imagine. So really stepping up saying, okay, well, we could do cabinets 12 months a year. The roof, obviously, that's going to be seasonal as well. But this shows you that you don't have to invest in an additional franchise. There may be some additional training and or maybe equipment. You know, I don't know the process in and out, but this is a great, in my opinion, success story. So any comments on that? Because I think that's huge that the, you know, you.
Well, it's funny because anytime we speak about our roofing coating to anybody in the industry, whether it be franchising or the roof industry or the painting industry, they say, well, that should be a franchise or concept in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'd rather have our franchisees do better. So we had a leadership offsite a few years ago, and we said, what's our goal? Like, what do we want our franchisees to do? And an interesting stat, I don't know if you know this or not, but less than 5% of all businesses make it past the $1 million mark, which for me, it was astounding because I thought every business makes it past $1 million mark. Only 5% of businesses do that. And I said, well, we'd like for our franchisees to be the top 5% of business people. We've got the concept,
right?
But why, you know, now let's choose the right people so we can get each franchisee on average doing $1 million. And if you look at where we came from back then to today, if you look at our dual unit franchisees who've been here for at least 3 years, on average, they're doing $1.3 million now. Average, right? Some are doing way more. So that's, we've already succeeded there in Canada. Now it's just a question of replicating that in the US because everybody's really relatively new, right? Like basically all rookies right now.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm learning a lot. I did not realize that 5% number. So you're saying 5% of companies exceed $1 million.
Yeah. So 95% of businesses that start do not exceed $1 million.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I'm here. I'm learning a lot, and I'm learning even more about SprayNet as we prior to us recording. So this is awesome, and I appreciate that. So great product, but you know you can't just have a great product to be a successful franchise. So talk to us about the support, because the value proposition of every franchise for people that I talk to and say, let's figure out if a franchise is a good fit. Right, we want to make sure that. You know, if you buy this franchise, you value the systems in place and you're going to follow the system, which is big, which is the number one reason I see franchisees fail. They don't follow the system, or maybe they were matched up, or I should say they don't follow system. Number two is they were matched or went, you know, through the process and purchased maybe the wrong franchise for them or for the wrong reasons.
Right.
So talk to us about, you know, okay, great. You got this amazing product, saving customers tons of money, plus all the headaches and the smells and, you know, everything else involved and just the time, right? We want people in and out of the house that causes disruption. So that's amazing. Talk to us about the support. So someone buys this franchise, what type of support can they run this? Maybe they're transitioning out of a job. Can they run this semi-absentee? Talk to us a little bit about kind of the structure of SprayNet.
Well, yeah, I like that you mentioned that, because every time we start a confirmation day, so confirmation days when, you know, potential franchisees come to meet the team, everybody says, you know, why are you here? Like we've looked at all these other concepts. We love your concept. It's, you know, different. It's unique. And I said, that's great. But there's three pieces for you to be successful. There's our concept. Great. Check that box off. There's the support system. Are you going to follow the process? And then there's you, right? Are you ready to actually, you know, join a franchise, join a business, put in the hours? So let's talk about the support, because that's the question you asked. Mm-hmm. I've actually, you know, honored, humbled, I don't even know what the word is. The ability for us to attract the talent that we've been able to attract on our team is just ridiculous. Like when I started this a few years ago, it was basically me supporting all the franchisees. And I like to tell this story because we started franchising in 2014, and our support was basically, got any questions? I don't really know what to tell you, right?
Right.
And those two franchisees did really well. So that's when we knew we were onto something. And today, so just to give you an idea, our COO who runs our operations, he was actually the vice president at College Pro when I was a franchisee. So he actually taught me how to run a business. Mm-hmm. So now he's leading our operations team to support our franchisees. And we've got, you know, one of the things I like to show in confirmation day is our org chart. Like, look at all these people. And then, right. And then I show them all and I say, how many of those do you think were former franchisees? And a good amount of them weren't, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got former franchisees now training franchisees. They know what it means to go through your first year, right? It's tough, right? Making that transition. And also, I used to be a franchisee. Another story I like to tell too is I was at a franchisor conference and the speaker said, how many of you franchisors have been franchisees before? So I put up my hand and I look around the room like, okay, I thought everyone was a franchisee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the minority, right? So we get it from a franchisee standpoint. So we're able to have those conversations. And in terms of the support and the training, like we iterate it and we make it better literally every 3 months. Like every time we have a new training, we get feedback, we make it better. And it's evolved just in the last 2 years. It's evolved like tremendously. Like we used to do a 1 week training. Now it's broken down into four steps, three days, just to have retention better. Like the training program is far better than anything I would have ever expected, which is crazy. Cause for me as a founder, it's cool because I've seen the team develop that, right? So we've got a really strong team is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. And it's an evolving thing. And I think what's crucial, and you nailed it. So I've been part of different organizations. It's feedback. don't assume, even something basic in the marketing, that you put out, don't assume you know everything. Go back, talk to your customers. Like, as you mentioned, what was the experience? What other services? How can we improve? You're asking the franchisees the exact same thing, because if there's a constant there of not enough of support in lead generation, or not enough support when an employee leaves, and what I have to do, that's the stuff. I'm not saying it's easy to fix, but it's like, okay, we know exactly what to focus on the next quarter and roll that out to the franchisees, because if one or two are suffering, they're probably all suffering. So I think, having maybe that same issue. So I think going back to the franchisees, getting their feedback is huge, because that's the only way to improve it. If everyone doesn't say anything, everyone's going to have their own struggles and then start to recreate the wheel and do other things. So I think that's a huge benefit. And one of the other major benefits, when explore of a franchisor and doing your due diligence is, I tell everyone, not only are you going to like the end product, the service, whatever the franchise company is offering, but who's going to give you, who do you feel most comfortable with when it comes to support? And we've worked with quite a few families that have moved forward with SprayNet. And I said, well, who do you feel is going to support you? Not in the very beginning, that's easy. Who's going to support you ongoing, in the next year, in the next decade or so? And SprayNet has come up, as their number one over and over again. So I think that's huge. I think, obtaining that feedback. And I think I'm sure a lot of franchise companies are doing that as well. But what they're doing with that information, right? Are they actually implementing those changes? I can't stress that enough. So people doing their due diligence, if I can talk today, you got to ask these specific questions. What is the future plan of the company, and how are you going to support me? And what happens when I have an issue? These basic questions need to be asked, and then obviously asked to their franchisees to make sure and validation that they're getting that positive feedback. So, anything you want to add to that, or is that?
Yeah. So the way that we collect feedback is every 3 months we send out an anonymous type form survey. And we also have a suggestion box that's anonymous called Suggestion Ox online, where people can leave suggestions anytime. Everything's always anonymous. And we also use Yammer, which is basically Facebook for business. So people ask questions, people make suggestions. So every 3 months we have a quarterly update with the franchisee, say, hey, here's what you said, here's what we're going to be doing in the next 3 months. Right. So it's just a 90-day cycle of feedback, changes, feedback, right. changes. And it creates for a much, much better support program. Right.
Right. Another system in place by a franchise. And that's why, going back to E-Myth Revisited, it's all about the systems and not constantly gathering info, not doing anything about it. So I think that's the perfect process. So with that being said, next topic, I want to jump into the types of ownership, full-time versus part-time, but just a quick word from our sponsor. We hope you're enjoying the show. This episode of Franchise Freedom is brought to you by the SMBPodcastNetwork.com. The network is a collection of podcasts and shows from around the internet, which focus on bringing you interviews with amazing guests who share actionable advice, ideas, and information for small and medium-sized business owners and entrepreneurs. Visit www.SMBPodcastNetwork.com to find more great shows and easily subscribe to be notified of new episodes. It's a great way to discover quality content. If you discovered us today via the network, then I hope you're enjoying the show and will consider subscribing directly so you never miss any of our great episodes. Now back to the show. Okay, and we are back with Carmelo Marsala from SprayNet. Kind of talking about who is the ideal candidate? Who is a good fit for SprayNet? And to follow up on that, what is the business model? Can this be run full time? Can it be run semi absentee?
Well, look, yes to both. We have a few franchisees that are running a semi absentee where they have an operator full time, less than skin in the game. Our more successful franchisees are now involved full time in the business. I wouldn't say that. We've got a, I guess, quote unquote, semi-absentee franchisee with an operator in the Maritimes who's going to be running a $2+ million business this year. So it really depends on the person. It's very, very situational, right? I would say put chances on your side to succeed. You want to be involved in the business. You want to learn the business, right? Especially in your first year, because otherwise somebody leaves, something happens, you kind of have to learn the ropes. And then after that, you know, you can start working on the business. I guess semi-absentee, it's a term that's thrown around a lot. It's just, what I don't like about that term is people think you can run a business part-time. And I don't feel that you can, right? Like if you want to do something properly, you kind of need to be, involved, unless you've got someone doing it, driving it full-time, right? So that's why I say it's situational. You need someone who's driving the business full-time. It's not going to run itself.
Yeah, I think with semi-absentee, it's like how much you're involved in the day-to-day, because I've heard various, kind of different definitions, but ultimately it's not a business where you just throw money at it and just check in every once in a while. You're involved. So you need to hire that right person, which is key. You know, my last business, that person had skin in the game. They were given a percentage of profits in one of my companies. So phantom equity is another term, which I didn't know about when I had first started my business, my first business. And that, learned that years later, where essentially it's just a percentage of the profits, not a percentage of the actual company. So, but finding that right person is going to be key. So I think that's big thing to consider, when looking at any business, is that if you're going to be semi-absentee, who is that person and how are you going to work with that person and hold them accountable? So that's going to be key to the success of the business. Who is the right fit? So we talked about kind of the owner operator, semi-absentee, but who, what skill sets, what are you looking for in a successful franchisee?
It's funny. So the four things that we say is at confirmation day, the goal here is, do you like us? Do we like you? And do you see yourself killing it in your territory, right? Because everything else we can teach you. There's a process to follow. So we want someone who we know could be a good leader. Because if you're not a good leader, I'll be blunt, if you suck to work with, nobody's going to want to work with you. And then you're going to say, well, I can't find people and this and that. Right. You've got franchisees who have no problem hiring people and have an issue of having too many people. Then you've got some franchisees like, oh, I can't find anybody. But, almost the same market, right? So. Right. You want to be someone that doesn't suck to work with, is what I like to say. So a good leader, someone who's got energy, who's motivated, who's business savvy, but most importantly, someone's got grit. I mean, there's a whole book written on this, right? Angela Duckworth, and there's even a TED Talk on it. There's going to be ups and downs in business, right? It's not going to all be rosy, right? Despite what the memes tell you on Instagram or whatnot. So you need to be able to face that adversity and keep going, right? As long as you don't stop, you're going to succeed, right? So grit, I think, is probably the most important one.
What was that? Who was that person? The TED Talk you mentioned?
Angela Duckworth.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, it's literally, she did a study of what makes people successful, and it boiled down to grit. Like, that's it. Not intelligence, not anything else, grit.
All right, we got to get her on the show then. All right, we got to work on that. So yeah. I got to check out I'm always, I'm always looking for new guests, and that's awesome. I'm gonna check that out later today.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story here is that there's work involved with any business. Sometimes you got to set the expectation up front that although this is a franchise, and yes, a lot of this stuff has been figured out for you, it's a lot of work. So the system is in place. You figured out, okay, what are the applications based off your region, right? Got that patent. We know exactly what product to be using. Right. Obviously the customer has to pick the color and what services they want and things like that. But ultimately you gotta find these customers. So, marketing obviously is great, but you need people closing this business, making sure customers are happy, follow up and things like that. So talk to us a little bit too, marketing, what other kind of support mechanisms and support services do you offer?
So I'm happy that you said that, because we can help generate all the leads in the world, but if someone's not closing those leads, that's an issue, right? So someone who's, relatively sales oriented, or has someone in their business, sometimes you have two partners, right? One takes care of production, one takes care of sales. In Dallas, that works great, right? Like Kyler takes care of sales, Dylan takes care of production. Mm. Great team. But if you, it, it's just a question of how you approach the customer. We've got a process, but people are not comfortable necessarily following that process because they've never been in sales or they don't know how to do it. So there's definitely a lot of coaching involved there. But you can tell that some people are just comfortable quicker. Some people are not, right? So if you're not comfortable quickly, you kind of need to factor that into your business plan, right? It may take you longer to get to that sales ratio that we want you to be at quicker, you know, sooner rather than later. So what we offer in terms of just, you know, overall training. So we do the first home show with the franchisee. So we generate those leads. Then we do the first first couple of days of quotes with the franchisee. Before that, we obviously do a whole bunch of exhaustive sales trainings. But this is, I'm talking about the hands-on training. From a marketing standpoint, we've got a whole process on how to do guerrilla marketing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, jobs create jobs, right? Like, let's say you're doing your house and your neighbor sees it or people driving. We everything that we make has a functional and a marketing benefit. So we actually have blue and orange tape that we manufacture. We have a spray booth that we pop up in front of the house. That's blue and orange, right? So you can't miss us. People are like, wow, what's going on here? We have feather flags. So some franchisees use those things, some franchisees don't, but those generate more jobs, right? So in your first year, we've got this whole list of 9 tactics that you need to do to generate more jobs, right? Because we call it the spray net stamp. You're getting that spray net stamp in your territory, but it takes more than just digital to get there. You kind of have to pair it with that pound the ground, on the ground, pound the ground, or whatever it's called, marketing to kind of have that synergistic effect.
That's huge. I cannot stress that enough. You know, the whole, you're doing a job in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
That neighborhood needs to be plastered with either door hangers because going online is great and marketing is great, but it's like, okay, which is the best company? Yes, you popped up top of Google, but referrals, you know, my whole business, I would say a big chunk of my business is referrals.
Right.
Not all of it, but a large percentage. But if my neighbor is getting their roof done, I'm asking that neighbor immediately, who's doing your roof? Are you happy? And I'm fine. I'm done. I'm sold. Yeah. Like there's not much more to it because I know they're getting it done. I could see their work. I can speak directly with my neighbor. Right. I'm not saying testimonials online are not helpful because obviously you want to look at the credibility of the company, but that is, you know, that is to me a no brainer. And I just see so many companies not taking advantage and, you know, having that you said that tent built out when doing the cabinets, I think that's huge because that creates attention and people walking the dog, people passing by are going to be asking. So
we call it fishing. We plant the bait and then you reel in the people. Like I've never been on a job site and not sign another job. It's crazy. So we've got 3 different types of door hangers. When you sign the job, when you go pressure wash the job, and when you do the job. So you could literally plaster those door hangers every contact with the customer, right? So we provide all the tools, but then, you know, the last piece is the franchise has to do it, right? Like you said, follow the process.
Got to execute, right? You got to execute it. And and you got to follow up because and I'm guilty of this too in the past with my other businesses, my other franchises, I need more leads. And I remember someone saying, take a step back. It was actually my business coach that I had hired as well. And she came and said, do you need more leads or do you need to close more of the leads that are coming in? You have all this. You know, so, you know, is it, you know, adjusting your sales process? Is it retraining your salesperson? Maybe it was retraining me because I was doing some of the sales. You know, I should be closing 1 out of 5 instead of 1 out of 10 and that kind of thing. So, yeah, there's different things to look at and don't just, you know, it's not all about more leads because if you can't close, all the more leads aren't going to help out. So shifting gears a little bit. So, as I mentioned, a large percentage of people listening in, first time or soon to be first time entrepreneurs or corporate executives. So either they're looking to slowly transition out of their corporate jobs, they're looking to leave their job and run full time. What advice do you have for that person that's never made the leap before? Because this can be a stressful, you know, process. The anxiety obviously goes up, and we try to set those expectations. Yes, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made, but at the end of the day, you got to do your homework. You got to look into it. You need to be financially prepared. These are some things you have to do. So what's some, you know, maybe top 1 or 2 pieces of advice you'd want to give to someone just looking to make that leap?
Yeah. I wish I had experienced that because I've never experienced it. I just always ran my own business it was my first job.
Right.
So it's hard for me to, you know, to kind of share that experience. But what I would say is man, ask the right questions. Make sure that you're not being sold a dream. Like social media glorifies entrepreneurship, I think, a bit more than it should. It's not all, you know, roses and
Shark whatnot. Tank. It's not all about Shark Tank and Mark Cuban buying you.
Right. Yeah. So like I see, you know, it grinds my gears when I see these people posting like, I'm at the beach running my business. Yeah, maybe. Right. Not going to happen in your first few months.
Right.
So then they think it's going to happen right off the bat. They could be at the beach and then there's being money deposited in the account. So I guess it's speak to people who've done it and get the right expectations up front. Because, you know, in the franchise world, a lot of people at the end of the day are trying to sell you a franchise, right? Like, and people are not necessarily, they're afraid to say it how it is because they're afraid that that person won't buy that franchise. Right. But at the end of the day, if they buy it and then they end up failing because of wrong expectations, what's the point anyways?
Right.
And that's one of our big things that we also at our Lost Outside said is we need to do a better job setting expectations. And we need to maybe say no a bit more often. Because if we know someone is maybe not ready or too nervous, we don't want it to fail because it's not good for us. It's not good for them. Right.
Right. Yeah, it's not. So, right. Exactly. You're doing yourself a disservice. You're hurting the brand. That's.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And look, there's also people that I see that just talk about being an entrepreneur their whole lives and never actually do it. We call those entrepreneurs, right? I think there's memes about that too. Mm-hmm. At some point, either take the dive or don't. Right. But you know, paralysis by analysis, you just gotta do it and figure it out. It's easy for me to say because that's what I've done my whole life. So that's what I'm saying. It's hard for me to share experience from an anxiety standpoint, but. Just do it or don't, right? Shit or get off the
Yeah, party. Yeah, exactly. That and that's it. And I have a lot of people that I know in my network that just talk about it, not do anything about it. So either it's something you want to do. There's always going to be a risk, you know, no matter how much research you do, you want to minimize the risk. You want to make sure it's a good fit. You want to make sure you do your pro formas and speak with the franchisor and the franchisees. And at the end of the day, it's either it's a decision. It's not always yes. It may be no, but figure out kind of what's holding you back. And I always give the advice of, you know, revert, just like you reverse engineered your process. I reverse engineer everything. Business ownership is a vehicle, franchising a vehicle. These are just simply vehicles.
Yep.
You know, how do you want to get to the destination basically? So if the destination is retiring at the age of 50, if the destination is to work 5 hours a week, whatever that destination is, figure that out. You don't need anyone to help you there, in my opinion. Figure out what the ideal situation looks like today, a year from now, 5, 10 years, whatever. You can go out as far as you'd like. Then you reverse engineer and go back and say, okay, you know, how do I get there? But a better question, my upgraded question is, who's going to help me get there? So it may be, you know, and when we talk about who, it could be, you know, talking to other business owners. Like, don't talk to the people that don't own a business. Talk to the people that own a business.
Yeah.
They can say, hey, yes, I'm driving my Ferrari, or I have my third home, but it wasn't all easy. You know, it took lots of hours. You know, are you ready to put in these hours? So I think talking to the right people, you know, to help you along the journey, but figure out where you want to end up and then go back and figure out, okay, these are the steps I need to make. These are the people I need to talk to. It could be other entrepreneurs. It could be someone like myself. We lay out the entire process on our website. Should you want to do it alone, or we help you out? Really, you know, we're here to help and offer as much assistance as possible. And there's no fee to the person that's kind of like an executive recruiter. There's no fee for the service itself. So, but figure out what you truly want, and you know, it may be a combination. It may be a combination of real estate holdings and a franchise. It may just be a franchise. I mean, just a franchise in and of itself, if you follow the system, could be that the only vehicle you need, but figure out those various vehicles. And some vehicles, in my opinion, will get you there sooner than later. And that's the unfair advantage, as I coined in my book, Franchise Freedom, back here in the back over here. You know, that's the unfair advantage of a franchise and a company like SpringNet that's figured everything out. You're not sitting in your basement or your garage formulating product.
Right.
It's a simple order and getting shipped right before the job. So all that hard work has been done so that you can get rolling and get to that final destination much quicker. So with that being said, two things. If there's anything else that we didn't talk about that you'd like to bring up, and number two, fun fact. I always ask everyone that.
No, I just want to add, because you said a vehicle. It's funny because in our confirmation day, my presentation, I literally show a picture of a Ripsaw EV2. And if you don't know what that is, it's the world's fastest all-terrain vehicle. And it's all lettered up in Spain. And I said, this is, as a franchisor, this is what we're providing you. But if you don't get into it and fuel it and drive it, it's not going to move. It's not going to go anywhere. And that means sweat equity. That means putting in the hours, right, motivating your team, putting in the marketing dollars. So yeah, like you said, like no matter what, you can have this great concept, but you need that right person to drive it, right? So, yeah. So just reiterating that.
I like that. No, I like that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, we're saying the same thing, and I always like to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
Fun fact.
Fun fact, we just opened a new warehouse. I don't know if this is that fun, but it's pretty fun for me, in Miami. We're distributing now to our U.S. franchisees from a U.S. headquarters. So, this is actually new of this month.
And what about you had, and I can give you a hint, you gave us a personal fun fact that you'd like to share related to your family.
Oh, is it the twins?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so I had two kids and wasn't sure if we wanted a third. So on a whim, because I'm an entrepreneur, just say, hey, let's try for a third, and got a 2-for-1 special. So now I got four kids.
How's that? Four kids. Wow. So how's that going? That's got to be, how old are you? 25?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm 36 now. I'm getting old, but yeah, no, it's pretty hectic at home, but, luckily, my wife is a very strong partner, and I'm well surrounded here too. So able to handle it all.
Awesome. And that shows that Carmelo is committed to SprayNet. We've got a lot of mouths to feed there. So,
yeah, exactly.
This has been awesome. It's been a pleasure. I've been looking forward to this. I've been a big advocate, big fan of the brand. Love what you have to do. Definitely once we get someone out here, a future customer, as we definitely could use the help. But thank you very much. I know your time is valuable. You're running a large company there, but I really appreciate the time, and looking forward to hopefully meeting up at the next conference.
Yeah, hope so. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. Whenever you're ready, here are three ways Giuseppe can help. 1, if you've ever considered owning a business of any kind, you owe it to yourself to get a copy of Giuseppe's book, Franchise Freedom. Download your free copy at ggthefranchiseguide.com/book. 2, want to understand how successful executives make the transition from corporate to owning their own franchise? Join Giuseppe's next online presentation, Franchise Freedom: How to Escape the Corporate World and Have Financial and Time Freedom by Owning a Franchise, by going to ggthefranchiseguide.com/video. 3, want to work with Giuseppe one-on-one to identify the right franchise opportunity for you, to navigate the process, and get plugged into experienced franchising advisors? Send him an email to gg@ggthefranchiseguide.com with one-on-one in the subject, and he'll send you all the details.